Blog Talk Radio.
We're going to lift this one for the kingdom. To it.
To everything, there will be love.
Submission. There is a freeness of giving your will
in a relationship where you yield some things to your husband. But more importantly, the husband has a greater responsibility to love his wife. Love is greater than just subjection. Love is about selflessness. Love is about putting off yourself so that others can live. Love is dying so that others can breathe. Love is being in a position where you sacrifice so that others can have. But this is what it says here in the 25th verse. Husbands, love your wives. Even, see, now he's going a little further than just love your husband and submit to them. He said, now, I want you to do this as Christ has loved the church. Well, the first thing that Christ did in loving the church is he sacrificed his physical body. He gave, he gave himself for the church. His physical body gave it for the church. And a lot of times we have people, amen, that have loved ones, amen, the wives, the husbands, that they don't want to work. They don't want to plow the field. They don't want to till the land. They don't want to get out there and get a job. They want to stay at home. They want to be, you know, the house husband, or they want to be the one that don't get their hands dirty. But you really, you know, one thing about a man and our physique and how we're built to work. We're supposed to work. The Bible says if we don't work, we don't eat. So we're built to work, but a lot of times what happens is we start looking at the world system and how they go about doing things and the changes that are going on in the world, and we think that our role is supposed to change, but we're supposed to work. Even if a person is retired, praise the Lord, there's some things that he needs to do, amen, some honeydews, amen, handyman things, or getting things done. There's no reason that a man should be in a house, praise the Lord, for a significant amount of time, and things keep breaking down and never get fixed. There's no reason. Even in my relationship, excuse me, with my wife, amen, if we begin to get a new car, it's not that it's not both of our cars. It's not that we cannot both drive them and sometimes do it. We have keys to both of them. But generally speaking, and really all the time, I give her the car that requires less maintenance because I am a man, because I am the husband, because I'm the provider and the protector, and because of that, I want to be secure in knowing that her vehicle is least likely to break down. Therefore, I make sure that she has a newer model. I make sure she has the one that requires less maintenance. But it's more than about that. It's more than just about what you see on the surface. But you also have to recognize that in a relationship, unfortunately at times, you're the one that takes the burden for making the relationship what it is. Even if you're not the one that's wrong, even if you're not the one that has caused things to be the way they are, as the head of a relationship, you have to take responsibility. You have to be accountable. I know sometimes we don't want to hear this, but let's look at the scripture. It says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject to their husband and everything. But husbands, love your wives, even as also Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. This thing that he may present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it shall be holy and without blemish. Now, let me say, we're talking about the church. He's talking about the word of God. He's talking about how we carry ourselves as men of God. But look what it says here. He says, yeah, that's true, but so are men to love their own wives as their own body. So what he's saying is, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church and gave instruction for the church and gave gifts to the church, so are men to love their wives and give of themselves their own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. So here we go again. If we put ourselves in a position, even when they are wrong, even when we know that the things that are happening is something that is being contributed to, we have to recognize, I love my wife because I love myself. And I love myself because I love my wife, that even when things are not the way they're supposed to be, we are supposed to take responsibility for where the relationship goes from there. That's the reason why it's so important for us to be on one accord. And that's the reason for it's so important for the woman to be subject to the man, because then able to walk in unison because of the grave responsibility that he has, that she be presented without spot or without wrinkle or any such thing. And then it goes on to say, now listen, is it true? For no man ever yet hated his own flesh. So if you're saying that you're one, You're saying that you twine together, that you are no longer two, but you become one through Christ Jesus. Then are you saying then that you hate yourself? No, we're one. So even when that person, amen, has done some things that is unfavorable to the relationship and the union, you can't hate them because they're part of you. You got to try to work it out. You got to try to look at that situation as us. I mean, when I first got married to my wife, excuse me, and pastor had said something that I really took a hold to while he was giving us our nuptials. He said, it's never you against her, but it's you two against the problem. And sometimes we don't remember that, and we have to recall that. He said, but even if the problem is between you two, even if the problem is something that you have orchestrated or contributed to, it is never just you against the other person. It's you two together against the problem. And so it says here, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourish it and cherish it, even as the Lord does the church. For we are many members in his body and of his flesh and of his bones. So therefore, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now, I want to stop right there and just think about that, because we talk about that a lot also. When you leave your mother and father and you join to your wife and become one flesh, that does not mean that she becomes all that you are. That does not mean that whatever your way, whichever you say goes, or however you do it goes, that's just the way it's going to be. What that means is that we come together, and I take my ideology and hers and our spirituality, and as we grow in God, we begin to evolve together. And so when you see one of us, it's like seeing both of us, because we begin to reel the same thing. We begin to walk the same way. We begin to serve God. We begin to raise our children in the same manner. So when you see one, you see the other. And that is the greatest mistake and tragedy that I see in relationships today. When you see the wife, she does not represent the husband. When you see the husband, he does not represent the wife. Even when it comes to their children are not even sure of the rules of the house, because the mother may give them a different standard than the father. That's why so many relationships are torn. That's why so many relationships are frail and on the edge of divorce or separation, because you don't see one and see the other. They have their own identity and still trying to exist as one flesh. But this is what it says here about that. In the 32nd verse, it says, and this is a great mystery. Excuse me. This is a great mystery. How could this be? How does this come to pass? How is this something, amen, that turns and to evolve into one? He says, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. In other words, this is something that has to be spiritual. This is not really natural. It's hard for two to walk as one naturally, because everybody has their own ideas. Everybody has their own opinions. Everybody has their own upbringing, the way they were brought up. Amen. So even if you find somebody into the same church, they don't live in the same home. They grew up with the same parents, so they have different opinions about things. But it's a great mystery, because if we don't involve Christ, then it will not come to pass. And even with the church in Christ, that's the thing that we want to do in our flesh. That we know we're not concerning the things of God. We know we're not walking in the way of God. And just like Jesus humbled and submitted himself unto God, we have a new thing. He said, not my will. Listen, a woman has a will. A man has a will. We have wills. But we have to recognize that's the bigger picture. We're not separate entities. We're one. And so therefore, not my will, but let your will be done. Let the will of the Father be done. In the household, we recognize that as we begin to pray and seek the face of God and do what God has called us to do, then we have to come to some kind of agreement. We're going to have to allow God's will to be done. Not my will, not your will, but God's will to be done. And that's the reason why the Bible has to be the center of the marriage. I know we have our own opinion in this day and age. There's so many different ideologies, so many different ways you can think about marriage. They have open marriage, closed marriage, gay marriage, this kind of marriage. But God has orchestrated a marriage between one man and one woman. And he compared that marriage, that nuptial, that agreement, he compared that to the church and Christ Jesus himself. So let's make sure that it's without spot and without wrinkle or any such thing, and allow God to use us. Husbands, we need to recognize that loving our wives means that we take the great responsibility as God begins to shape us and mold us into the image of his dear son, that we're able to lead a wife and our children into their destiny, their purpose. knowing that we're no longer two, but we come together as one, and this is the great mystery that we have as the church is the Christ. Father, we love you and appreciate you. Thank you for this opportunity to get into your word. God, continue to teach us and help us to understand what you're doing. Excuse me, Lord, in this last name of this. Y'all pray for me, amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have a blessed day.